Amen. I am of the nature, I can't help but analyze things. And I was thinking as we were singing of this revival this week, and I would have to say it's been a time when real spiritual health is entering into the body. It's just been so spiritually healing and healthy what has taken place in these services, the moving of the Spirit and the preaching of the Word and the encouragement and the singing. And I certainly appreciate the Martin family agreeing to be here. Our hearts have been so helped. We have tomorrow night. We have the Saturday morning meeting at 10:30, the outreach meeting. And I'm just so thankful that the Martins could be here. Let's just open our hearts to them as they come tonight.
Praise God. I want to obey Him, don't you? Praise God. I want to do it His way. Praise God. I want to follow His steps. Praise God and see the Lord have His way. Praise God. It is so good to be able to be here with you again tonight, and so thankful and so grateful. We've enjoyed your fellowship, and thank you for all the different things that have been done, your prayers, your involvement in every dimension of that. Thank you for the offerings. May God bless you for that. Thank you for the food that has been provided and prepared for us. And we're so grateful for that. Amen. And just have much to be thankful for. Praise God. I was talking with my cousin today that was here the earlier part of the week. And she was saying, Maya said, we're still having revival. Said, we listened last night, and we're going to be listening again tonight. So we praise God for His presence and for His grace. And I desire all that He wants to do in our lives. I believe that as we discern what someone has said, that faith is not just me dreaming up something that I expect God and hold God accountable to do. But faith instead is discerning what God intends to do and then acting in cooperation with that. Praise God. By faith, Abraham, amen, and on and on and on, God reveals Himself, amen. We discern what God wants to do, and then we line up with that, praise God, and we choose to obey Him, amen, and then God does the miraculous, and He has to say, well, it's because you believed me. You trusted me to do what I wanted to do. Praise God. And so there's that cooperation. And I appreciate the Lord tonight. Worship the Lord. We're going to quote tonight from the book of Romans chapter 8. Amen. The first 18 verses. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Praise God. Glory to his worthy and holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
You know, everything that we go through down here will seem as nothing when we see Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today in 1 Peter, it just has ministered to me so much. We've quoted this over and over, but these verses have helped me today. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
The words that really stuck in my mind today, if need be.
Yes, praise God.
No trial that you go through is of no purpose. Everything you go through is because it needs to be, if you're a child of the Lord. Because he doesn't let us just go through pain unnecessarily. But if need be, you're in heaven. It's through manifold temptations.
Yes.
Oh, when we were singing, when the choir was singing that song, shout, 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 before the battle is even won, shout.
Amen.
And like Brother Martin was saying last night, praise him. Even before you feel the victory, praise him. We weren't even planning to sing this song tonight, but I just felt it so strong when the choir was singing. Victory is mine. It says, there's one thing for certain, devil, I want you to know. No matter what comes and no matter what goes, I'm going to keep on serving Jesus.
Yes,
we've got to be determined in these last days. We're going to serve the Lord, and victory will be ours. Hallelujah. I've been walking through a valley, and my head's been hanging low. This night has been so long, dreary, dark, and cold. My soul has been so weary from fight after fight. Seems that I can't win for losing, and nothing turns out right. But there's one thing for certain, devil, I want you to know.
Alone every sign. keep on serving Jesus and keep holding to his hand. By faith I know that victory is somewhere up ahead. I'll not give up and turn around, I will not be denied. For the battle belongs to Jesus and the victory is mine.
Oh, I've been walking through the valley and my head's been hanging low. This night it's been so cold, dreary, dark and cold. My soul has been so weary from fight after fight. Seems that I can't win for losing and nothing turns out right. But there's one thing for certain, devil, I want you to know that no matter what comes, no matter what goes,
I'm gonna keep on serving Jesus and keep holding to his hand. By faith I know that victory is somewhere up ahead. I'll not give up and turn around, I will not be denied. For the battle belongs to Jesus and the victory is mine. Belongs to Jesus and the victory is mine.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad that it doesn't matter what we feel like.
Oh, yes.
We can have victory. Yes. You know, not always are you going to feel like you have victory. But I'm glad that we don't have to trust in our feelings, but we have faith. And you know, there's a phrase that I've heard, I guess, ever since I was a little kid, and I'm sure it's been around for a long time, and people say, just plead the blood. Just plead the blood. And you know, sometimes we say that and we don't really think about what that means. But as I was dwelling upon what does that mean to plead the blood, I believe it means to say that we are putting our trust in the work of Christ alone.
Amen.
We are pleading that that is what we are trusting in.
Yes.
That we are trusting in God, that he's going to bring us through. And you know, sometimes when we face those difficulties and we don't know what to say, I'm glad that we can plead the blood. I'm glad that God is enough, that Jesus' blood still has the power to do whatever we need done in our life. I'm glad God's power is not limited just to saving us, but it's also for whatever you need tonight. Maybe it's a healing in your body. Maybe it's a need in your family. Whatever it is, we can plead the blood. Worship the Lord with us.
Is raging high. God's children have been tested and one on every side, but there is one sure weapon when we face the enemy. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings our victory. I plead the blood. I plead the blood that was shed over you and me. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Over all the power of hell, Satan, you cannot prevail. I plead the blood.
For our lost and dying loved ones, the blood still saves today. And when we cry for healing, the blood is ours to claim. The blood is still the answer for every battle of the mind. There is no greater power. Demons tremble when we cry. I plead the blood.
I plead the blood that was shed on Calvary.
God. Oh, we praise you for the sacrifice of our Savior upon the cross and the purchase that you made for everything. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Thank God. Amen. For the provision, the guarantee, the assurance. Hallelujah. Of his provision of every need in our lives. Praise God. For now and for all of eternity. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Again, we want to say how grateful I am to have my dad here with us and continue to be here. And this is just, it's just been, I don't remember this ever happening. Amen. And all my ministry, amen, to have my dad with us, amen, this length of time, and I appreciate it so much. Amen. It's so good to have Brother Callicott. Amen. We appreciate and love him and appreciate his work and labor for the Lord and faithfulness through all these years. God bless you, Brother Callicott. Appreciate you making the effort to be here with us tonight. Amen. Appreciate it so much. Praise God. If you'll be turning with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number 11. How many of you would like to understand a secret whereby you could be assured that you would receive the answer to the request that you would make? An assurance. One of the strongest assurances that God would answer your prayers. How many of you would like to know about that tonight? Well, I would. And it may not be couched in exactly the way you would think, but I believe you'll see the reality of it, and I believe it'll make a difference. I'm excited about that tonight. Luke chapter number 11. Amen. Before we get into this tonight, I have a question to ask you. Who ate food today that you purchased at a grocery store? As far as, you know, or at a place you went out to eat or whatever. In other words, you didn't go out there and plow the ground and harvest the vegetables and all that goes with it and bring them in. You didn't raise the cow and slaughter it. And some of us did, maybe. I don't know. How many of you are wearing clothes that you bought at a store somewhere? You mean you didn't plow the ground, plant the cotton? Go pick the cotton. I know some of you have picked cotton before. I've heard my dad tell the stories about picking cotton. Amen. But for the clothes you're wearing tonight, and then take it to the gin, and then weave it, and sew it, and dye it, and all the stuff that goes with that. You know what? We are here tonight enjoying the benefits of other people's labors. Other people have labored. Other people have helped make things available to us. We're reading tonight from the book of Luke, chapter number 11. And we'll begin at verse number 1. Luke chapter number 11 and begin at verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves,
For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Praise God. Tonight I want to preach to you for a little while about the middleman's joy. A middleman. You understand in marketing terms, there's the producer. There's the one who manufactures goods. And then there's what we call the consumer. That's on the other end of the spectrum. But it's that guy in the middle that knows how to make the connections. That's what I want to preach tonight about the middleman's joy. Father, we love you tonight, and I thank you for this opportunity to be here. I thank you, Lord, for every person that's here. And Lord, we've been challenged, we've been exhorted, we've been encouraged. Hallelujah to God. Lord, to rejoice in the promises of God. Lord, I anticipate a special move of your Holy Spirit in this service tonight. I thank you for every soul that's here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would send us forth from this place, Lord, overflowing, praise God, with your presence and with your grace, but with a consciousness that you have done it for a purpose. You have blessed us in order to make us a blessing. You have touched us in order that we can turn around and touch somebody else. Praise God. Lord, let your name be glorified. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A middleman is an intermediary or agent between two parties, especially a dealer or company intermediate between the producer of goods and the retailer or the consumer. I want to tell you tonight, amen, God wants you to see yourself tonight as a middleman. God wants you. And I believe this is at the very basis and the root of a lasting and an enduring relationship with the Lord that will maintain a spirit of revival in your life. If all you see yourself as is someone who comes and sits on the pew and I want God to bless me because I want to feel better, you may experience blessings, and I don't doubt a moment but what God will bless you. But if you stop it there, you will find your revival short-lived. It'll only last a little while. But if you will understand this basic principle that I've God just blessed my heart, amen, I just feel blessed. Amen. To see this simple truth in God's word, that if you'll get a hold of this tonight, it will be one of the continuing joys of your life to be a middleman. We have in the scriptures here, amen, some things about middleman. You know, there's something about a middleman. I want to talk first of all for a little while about the middleman's relationships. The middleman's relationships. The middleman, as I said, is aware of a need that people have, whether for food, for clothes, whatever. Somebody somewhere realizes this is a basic need that people have, and they're looking for the supply. And so it prompts and motivates the man and then his companies and whatever to go and locate the producers, the manufacturers of those goods. And then the middleman has the joy of bringing those and making them available to the one that needs it. What I'm preaching to you tonight is simply this, and we're going to get all this right out of this passage of scripture that I've read to you. The middleman's relationships. Amen. You'll notice this story. I want you to notice that with me. Amen. Beginning at verse number 5, Jesus talked about, which of you shall have a friend? We'll just say this is the supplier over here. Amen. Have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine, back over here, in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Do you see the point? I've got relationships. Listen, you have relationships with needy people. Let me just back up long enough to say this, that before I get into some of this stuff here tonight, amen, I just want to remind you, amen, that Job saw the need for a middleman. In the scriptures where the Bible says in Job 9:32, Job was pouring out his heart and he was talking about God and said, he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. He said, I'm here and I'm just in such desperate need. But he said, I feel like God is so far above me and so far away from me. He said, and it seems like there's nobody to come between us and lay his hand on both of us. But you know what? That was a prophetic utterance of the reality of the fact that God was going to send the God-man, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, who would be able to be God and man and be able to bring as a connection, praise God. And so Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. My friend, today the ultimate middleman is Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who saw the desperate need that we had, but knew the ultimate source, hallelujah, the supply of everything that man would ever need. And God in his infinite mercy, praise God, made provision whereby, amen, Jesus would be born of a virgin, amen, of the Mary, amen, and live a spotless, sinless life. But through his death upon the cross of Calvary, hallelujah to God, he became the ultimate middleman and made the connection between us and God. Jesus had the reputation upon in his earthly ministry. People looked at him and said, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. They said that as a scornful derision about him. They saw that as a slander, as a slur against him. But I believe that Jesus took that, amen, as a compliment when he understood. They saw that Jesus was a friend. Amen. No, he did not partake in their sins. But I want to remind you tonight that very likely, amen, you have relationships with needy people. Some of us don't have to look too far to find those. They're right close. Maybe under your own roof. Maybe within arm's reach. Maybe there's your one of your neighbors or whatever. Amen. People that are in desperate need. Amen. A middleman's relationships. Amen. Include. Amen. An awareness of the needs of other people. Listen, my friend. If you and I live in such a self-centered world. Amen. That we're not aware and not concerned about the needs of other people around us. May God deliver us from it tonight. Amen. And give to us. Amen. An openness of heart, amen, that is willing to acknowledge that God has brought people into our lives, amen, for the purpose of us becoming a middleman. Hallelujah. Needy people, amen. Here was a man, amen, that was traveling at midnight, amen, of all times, amen. This relationship that he had with this man, but he also had a relationship, hallelujah, with a friend that he knew had enough. Glory to God. I want to tell you, if all you focus on is the needs or are the needs of the people round about you, it can be very depressing and draining, can't it? But I want to remind you, you're not just a friend to somebody in need. You are the friend of somebody that has enough. Praise God. Hallelujah. You've got a friend. Amen. You have connections with somebody that's able to do anything that needs to be done. You serve a God. Amen. Do you know it's true? Amen. Relationships. Oh, I'll tell you what. Amen. It means so much. I know there's some people that by nature and by their disposition and personality are more loners than others are. Amen. But let me remind you that no matter what your personality traits may include, there is a very real sense in which, amen, you are a middleman. You are in a position whereby God can use you to make a difference. I was thinking this afternoon, praying for one of the fellas that I met in Alaska, one of the villages. When we first met him, he was in his mid-20s. He had his marriage had failed, and he was responding in a positive way at that point. He was seeking God with all of his heart. He was devouring study books and his Bible, and it was just amazing at all the understanding that he had of the Bible and things. And his heart was turned toward God. But several months later, we were in I believe we were in Flagstaff, Arizona, working there with the Navajo people, I got a phone call. He said, Brother Martin. I said, yes. He said, this is Gary. He said, tell me, how can I transfer money into your account real quick? I said, wait a minute. What are you talking about? He said, I just need to know. I just need to know how can I transfer money into your bank account? I said, wait a minute, Gary. Settle down and talk to me a minute. What's going on? Well, I'm here in Anchorage. He said, I talked to my ex-wife, and she told me that I wasn't any good for anything. She said she never wants to see me again, and said, I just let it get to me. And he said, I've been drinking, and he said, I just don't think life's worth living anymore. I said, where are you, Gary? He said, well, he just named a chain motel. And he said, I'm here in this motel. And he said, I got to go. I'll let you go. He hung up. I tried to call him back. He wouldn't answer the phone. I told my family, I said, we got to pray. I said, Gary's in trouble. I went out to the van. They were in the trailer. We had a trailer then. We started praying. I didn't know what to do. I'd never faced anything exactly like that before, but I felt like it was the Lord. Just prompt me. Call the police in Anchorage. I'd never done that, so I looked up their phone number. I called the police. I told them what he had told me. They said, well, where is he? I said, well, all I know is that he said, man, there's however many of those type of motels in Anchorage. And I said, that's all I know. That's the best I can give you. I called a pastor friend in the area and asked him, and he went tried to do it because of all the privacy laws and all the stuff. He couldn't get any information. Anyway, long story short, it was, wasn't it several weeks? I can't, 2 weeks at least. Thank God for my sweet wife that helps me keep the little details there. 2 weeks, I just, Lord, what's happened? You know, I didn't know. I didn't know what had happened. After about 2 weeks, my phone rang again. I looked down and I saw on the caller ID, it was Gary. That number was calling me again. And I heard his voice on the other line. I said, oh, so praise God, Gary, it's you. And he said, yeah, Brother Martin. He said, man, he said, I don't know what got a hold of me. He said, it's just like the devil's trying to destroy me. He said, I was standing on the, I think it was the 7th floor. He said, I had the window open. Amen. In the motel, I was standing right at the edge when the police came through the door and got a hold of me. He said, but I thank you for praying for me. I want to tell you, friend, amen. You may not be that story for you every time, and it's not been for me all that often, but I want to tell you, you could make the difference, amen, in somebody. You could be the middleman. Amen. Cultivate. Amen. The relationships. You don't have to draw your self-righteous robes around you and see somebody in their terrible condition and say, I'm too good for that. I'm not talking about being buddy-buddy and chums. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about becoming involved in people's sin. But I'm saying, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that a middleman has to have relationships. Amen. And a compassion. Amen. For other people that are in need, hallelujah, but also, hallelujah, with a consciousness, as good as our God is, praise God, amen. I want to know him better. These times of revival are times of drawing closer to him, understanding him better, getting closer to him, feeling his heartbeat, feeling what makes him, amen, concerned. And we hear his voice as he says, amen, remember that good shepherd that had 100 sheep. 99 of them were safe in the fold. But there was one that was out there wondering. Hallelujah. And he said, and you feel the heartbeat of that shepherd saying, I still love the lost. I still care about that one that everybody else has given up on. I care about that prodigal that's way out there somewhere. I love that soul. And we feel his heartbeat. And so we say, God, would you give me something that would help me to be what I need to be for that needy soul? The middleman's relationships. Amen. But I want to go further. And see in this the middleman's request. The Bible says that he came to his friend and said, lend me 3 loaves. I'm conscious. I don't have anything to set before him. It's motivated by an awareness of our own personal limitation. How many times have you ever dealt with people and you felt so helpless? Felt like I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I just feel so inadequate. And so you know what the devil wants to do at that point? He wants to shut you down. Amen. He wants you to get off in your little corner and say, I'm sorry, I can't make a difference. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. Amen. But God says, looky here. Amen. I'll tell you what you can do. Amen. You can come and make your request known. You can call on the name of the Lord. You can pray. Amen. That beautiful song. Amen. I may not be able to sing. I may not be able to do whatever else. But I can pray. I can pray. I can seek the face of the Lord. I can ask God. Amen. To undertake. Praise God. Praise God. This is what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Amen. This is the guarantee. This is the guarantee that God will answer your prayers. Listen to this. James 4:2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Ye cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. You say, but I've asked. Well, let's go a step further. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. I don't mean to be playing on words here, but this is King James Bible, okay? The Bible indicates if we have the consumer mentality, we may not get our prayers answered. If our only motivation is so I can get something, so I can gobble it up, we may not get what we're asking for. I'm telling you, it's in this context of asking for someone else's benefit that Jesus gives the most powerful promise in connection with prayer. Ask and you shall receive. What is he talking about? This is the next verse after he's talking about asking for bread to take to somebody else. Praise God. He's not just talking about you asking because you want something. And I believe there's a time when we have to pray for ourselves. You understand that? But one of the strongest promises that God gives, amen, is that when you're praying for someone else's benefit, you can have a powerful assurance that God's going to, because I'm not called, amen. Jesus uses the word in John chapter 6 when he was feeding the 5,000, amen, and he took it to him. And the Bible says he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So the role of the disciples was that of a distributor, a middleman. Do you understand what I'm saying? I pray that God would give us a church full of middlemen. A church revived and aware. Praise God. Amen. They were said that General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he couldn't attend a scheduled meeting that he was supposed to preach. And so I believe it was that day they used telegraph. And so he sent the telegraph and it was just one word. Others. Others. I mean, you know when Jesus told this story about these three friends? He told it right after he had taught his disciples how to pray. What we often call the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it's not really the Lord's Prayer because the Lord never had to pray this prayer. He never had to say, forgive us our sins. He never had to say that. So it was more accurately maybe said as the disciples' prayer or a model prayer. Amen. But someone wrote it in poem form like this. Listen to this. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say I. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say my. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and not include another. You cannot ask for daily bread and not include your brother. For others are included on each and every plea. From beginning to the end, it never once says me. I wonder if someone had a tape recorder of our prayers. I wonder how much I, me, and my would be in it. Our Father. An awareness of the need of others. Amen. Here was at midnight. We're talking about his request at midnight. Amen. Jesus had just taught him. Amen. Pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And he said, Lord, I've got a friend that came to at midnight. And he hasn't had his bread today yet. I believe you want him to have bread today. Give me bread. I need bread for my friend. He hasn't had bread today. Do you see what I'm saying? The middleman's joy is to understand his relationships and then make his request. He talked about the importunity, the shamelessness, the boldness, the persistence. I'm not going to be denied. Oh, God, give us that. Amen. For the souls in our family, in our community. God, give us victory. Hallelujah. For people. Amen. I'll get more to something else here in just a moment, but just to remind you, amen, of our request. Let me remind you furthermore of the middleman's resources. Hallelujah. The Bible says here, amen, that he'll rise and give him as many as he needeth. Praise God. As many as he needeth. Praise God. I was talking to a friend of mine out in Colorado. We'd been out in Arizona and New Mexico on different reservations, and we went up into Colorado to preach at a church there. And had a friend there that had just opened a paint store. He was, you probably know him, Brother Steve Holden. Amen. He had just opened a paint store doing his own business. And I was telling him, I said, listen, I said, if you have a customer, he had just been open just a few days and didn't have much stock on the shelves, you know, and stuff, but he was trying to get started. And I said, if you have a guy that calls you tomorrow and says, I need 100 gallons of this particular kind of paint, are you just going to look at him or tell him on the phone, sorry, don't have that much, go talk to somebody else? He said, no way. So I'm going to get on the phone to my supplier. Talk to him. When can you get it to me? Amen. And then pass that word on to your friend. You know, he just laughed and thought it was sort of funny, me saying it like that. Amen. But in just a few days, he sent me a text. He said, today, guess what? A guy called me up and ordered 100 gallons of a certain type of paint. I said, well, what did you do? Did you tell him, go on down the road? He said, no way. He said, I called my supplier, and we got it and got it all arranged. And I want to tell you what, I'm talking about the middleman's joy. Listen, our responsibility is not measured by what we have, but by what we can get. Praise God. Woo! Woo! Glory to God. I want to tell you what, there's some of you souls sitting on these church pews that you've seen God bless other people. And you say, man, that must be good to be blessed. I want to tell you something. Amen. There is people in your life that God needs you to get a hold of something. And God's got all that they need. And he'd love to pour it through you. He'd love for you to be the middleman. He'd love for you. I'm not talking about, amen, that we take Jesus' place. I'm not talking about that we become the priest and, you know, they have to go through us. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about you can be the channel of being a blessing to somebody else. And until you've experienced that, you don't know what joy is all about. Praise God. As many as he needeth. Glory to God. Oh, 1 John, and I'm wrapping this up quick as I can. Amen. The Bible says in verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. I want to tell you something. Amen. When you see somebody with a problem and a need, amen, that's not your call, amen, to start posting it somewhere and telling and announcing to the world their problems. Amen. That's not your call to get on the phone and say, did you see what or hear what? That's not it. Amen. When you're aware of the need that somebody has, that's God's call for you. Amen. To be the middleman and to start appealing to God and calling on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah to God. And God can use you to make a difference. I don't believe it's without significance. Amen. The fact that later on, amen, it shifts from appealing to a friend onto where he talks about a son making a request to his father. Hallelujah. And he says specifically, amen, that those that seek for the Holy Ghost. Listen, Brother Ryan, amen, and any others here today, amen, Brother Carr, praise God, any one of you that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, if all you're thinking about is I want to receive the Holy Ghost so I can put a little check mark on my list of spiritual pursuits and I can say, well, I've arrived at this. That's not the issue. Amen. It's saying, God, I want to be in a position where you can be able to use me. Amen.
man to be used of God to make a difference, to equip me and to empower me to be used of God. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. We were in a service not too long back, and the Holy Ghost spoke to us. Don't you love it when the Holy Ghost talks to us? Wow, the way he did it, it was amazing. But he talked to us, and he said, you are a people that believe that I can supernaturally enable you to speak in a language that you did not learn. Is that true? We believe in speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. But he said, I want you, I tried to write it down after the service as close as I could. He said, I say to you that I can also give you words to speak in your own language that will accomplish my purpose. Words that the Holy Ghost teacheth. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. Hallelujah. God said, amen, just like you need, amen, the ability to say the right word at the right time, and you don't know what to say. I call on God. God, help me. God, teach me. I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we believe in that. But praise God, God can also give you every empowerment. You precious Sunday school teachers, you workers and laborers, believe that God, amen, you children, you young people with your friends that's struggling, and you say, I don't know what to say to them. They may not open up to somebody else. You may be the only one they open up to, but God by the Holy Ghost can help you to have the middleman's joy. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. I'm going to close here by reminding you of the middleman's reward. Hallelujah. Bible says he got up and gave him 3 loaves. Now, I don't know exactly how that figures out, if they were figuring on 1.5 apiece, or if he was figuring on 1 loaf for the friend that was in need and the one that was coming asking, and then have an extra. I don't know how that figures out. But the point is this, is that there was an abundance. There was plenty. As many as he needed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I believe that God intends, amen, that we have the reward. You know what God will do as you are more concerned about other people's needs than you are your own? I very firmly believe that it can happen to you just like it happened to Job. Job 42:10, that God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed. Yes, he prayed. Yes, he prayed. But what kind of prayer did he pray? For his friends. God helped Job personally when his focus was not on his own need, but his focus was on how he could be a help to somebody else. Glory to God. Oh, I want to see the Lord bless you tonight, but I want it to be with an understanding that God's going to bless me in order that I can turn around and carry something home, something, amen, to be a blessing to somebody else. Wouldn't you want that? Don't you want the middleman's joy? Don't you want the middleman's joy? The joy that says, amen, what about you mamas and you daddies? Well, I tell you what, I feel it. Somebody said something to me the other day, and I said, well, I have plenty of reasons, amen, to seek the Lord with a fervency and an intensity. Amen, I've got a wonderful wife and 10 children. Amen, 2 in-laws, 7 grandbabies. Amen, besides everyone else, amen, that I have a concern for, I have a reason to pray and to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's a joy. Amen. Don't you want that joy to be the middleman? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, when Jesus stood in the middle, he made his request to God. Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. He made his request Hallelujah. To the supplier. He was able to turn around and look at that thief beside him. I got what I asked for. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah to God. Amen. Oh, your prayers can make the difference. Amen. What about when Sunday morning rolls around and that soul that you've been praying for? Amen. You've been inviting them to come to church. You've been trying everything you can. Amen. But God, as you continue to pray and beseech the Lord in their behalf, amen, and God gives you a little nugget of truth, amen, maybe a tract to share, whatever it is, but you just simply obey what the Spirit prompts you to do. When you see him walk through the door Sunday morning, something's going to rise up in your soul. Say, God, I knew it wasn't me that did it. I'm sure when that middleman that had gone and got bread to set before his friend, and he saw his friend begin to devour that bread so hungrily. He'd been on his journey. He was tired, exhausted, and famished. There was just a sense of awe. I couldn't do this if it wasn't for my other friend. I wouldn't have anything to set before him if my friend hadn't been so thoughtful to give it to me. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Don't let the devil scream in your ear and say, oh, you're just wanting to lift yourself up. You're just wanting to be somebody. No. We want them to understand how good our friend is. We want him to understand how wonderful our Savior is. Glory to God. And then they become a distributor. They become a middleman telling somebody else. Hallelujah. My prayer for you tonight, for myself as well, Lord, let us be faithful middlemen. Faithful ones representing you. Reaching out to you, Lord, that has the full resources. And then, Lord, lovingly and willingly going. I mean, does it shame us when we read reports, as I have, that missionaries go to places where they don't think anybody's ever been before, and they find somebody there drinking a Coca-Cola? Somebody goes and risks their life to get in some of the most remote places of the world to market Coca-Colas. But we've got someone most infinitely more precious and more valuable and more needful and more satisfying than Coca-Cola. Glory to God. We've got Jesus. It could prompt. Amen. I wouldn't be surprised if God might not lay his hand on some young man or some young woman and say, amen, there's some souls maybe in a place that most of us have never heard of. Said, I need a distributor. I need a distributor over in that country. I need a distributor over there. God, as Joseph's told us stories about when he was at the West Bank, and stories of the desperate need, fellow that knew about nominal Christianity, but looked at him when Joseph's telling him the story about what it means to be a Christian. Young Mohammed, however old he was, 20-something years old, looked at him and said, I've heard about Christians and stuff, but I've never heard anybody say they knew him like you say you know him. Who's waiting? Who's sitting hungry at midnight? Saying, is there somebody that has connections? Is there somebody that has connections that knows how to get a hold of what I need?
What about Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer? Glory to God. Man, I ask an alms. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I've been to the source. And such as I have, give I unto thee. Praise God. I've got Jesus. Praise God. Purpose to give him away every chance you get. Glory to God. Would you make it? As we come to pray tonight, this is like what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to find at least one other person to pray for. Start praying. Yes, you may have needs, and I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for your own needs. Please, you understand me, I believe. But I believe tonight can open up a whole new dimension. Glory to God. As you realize that according to the Word of God, God will bless you and God will answer your prayer when your focus is not just on your own personal benefit, but on your desire to be the channel of God benefiting someone else. Praise God. Would you make that your prayer tonight? Lord, bless my brother. Bless my sister, Lord. Pray for their family. Pray for their needs. Amen. Pray that God would give you a word of encouragement. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you join me around these altars of prayer tonight? Praise God. Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters. Praise God. As we yield ourselves to you, God, renew and refresh and revive. Lord, our preachers. Lord, bless the Sunday school teachers, the workers. Bless my moms and dads, encourage their hearts. Lord, we desire to be full of the Holy Ghost, not just so we can feel the personal fulfillment of it, but Lord, so we would be equipped and empowered and enabled, Lord, to fulfill your purposes, Lord, in reaching out and being the witness that you need us to be in this last hour. Oh, God, bless my brothers. Bless my sisters, Lord. Bless our children, Lord. God, deliver us from a self-centered focus. Deliver us from self-centered living. Lord, give us a heart, Lord, of compassion and concern for others, Lord. Bless homes and marriages. Lord, unite men and women.
Lord Christ will last.
That's right. Find a friend to pray for tonight. Find a friend. Hallelujah. Hold them up tonight. Hold them up in prayer. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your friends. Hallelujah to God, Lord. Let tonight be a night when revival breaks out. Lord, not just because we're asking you to bless me, but Lord, I pray that you would bless my brothers. Bless my sisters, Lord. Hallelujah. May you step into the role of a middleman.
Only what's done for Christ.
Lord, you commit to us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. So I pray one for another. Pray one for another. Glory to God. Oh, there's something about it. Amen. Reach on over there and touch your brother. Touch your sister. Hallelujah. Pray God. Lay your hand on my brother. Lay your hand on my sister.
Christ. touch him as he passes by. Shall live and not die.